and I become King George. And I got all the rights then. And when I stand on the mountain and I say, do it, it gets done. If it don't get done, then I'll move on it. And that's the last thing in the world you want me to do.
You know, most of them don't assume you're actually going to kill them. Most of them assume it's a rape or something like that.
It was like anybody was fair game.
It did not matter. Blood is blood. It didn't matter if man, woman, child.
At first, they thought it was a pack of savage dogs. But when they looked closer, they knew it was humans.
We left the curse. We left the curse.
We lit the gate.
A fire and death.
We lit it.
Oh, this is not nice.
Judgment!
Say it!
We lit the curse!
On her?
On her!
Future generations.
Future generations!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Evil Examined podcast. As earlier defined last week, right, we said we would have another banging episode with myself, JP, and Daddy Bass holding up the third leg really get us off the ground this week, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're here.
Big Daddy Bass.
Yeah, so we hope that you guys enjoyed last week's episode, which was kind of a tribute to some of our donations that we received on the show. Thanks again, Aussie Eric and Ty DeJesus, for going ahead and giving us those donations. If our podcast is completely free and all the content on www.evilexamined.com is free for you all, we want to keep it that way. And if you do enjoy the show, you can support us by subscribing, leaving a review if you like it, and also clicking that donate button on the homepage at evilexamined.com. Even if you send us like a dollar or two, we can do a little mock profile of you, and maybe we can associate a bizarre news story with your personality type, as we did the last couple last week with our first couple of donors. So thank you very much. And this week we have a pretty interesting topic on time travel. But before we get there, I do want to remind our listeners that my horror book, disturbing horror book, Dark Assembly, is available on Amazon, ebook, and also paperback. It's got 20 horrifying illustrations. Check it out if you're a fan of horror. I think you may find it rather disturbing. And last week, we began the show, and we kind of sprung a little bit of a surprise on JP. Chris Hansen reached out to us because he was very concerned about the amount of time you were spending on the internet.
I'm ashamed and flattered at the same time.
And if you guys want to see that video of Chris Hansen trying to provide JP guidance so he doesn't end up in a dark kitchen somewhere, you know.
Taking a seat right there?
Yeah.
You may want to go and check out evilexamined.com to see that video. But this week, we had someone else reach out to us, too.
Oh, shit.
He's a machine. He's basically one of the premier athletes in the wrestling industry.
What?
Brian Cage, ladies and gentlemen. Brian Cage from AEW Wrestling, the FTW champion. He's reached out because he had some words for Daddy Bass. He heard there was some shit going down. Brian to Brian. Let's listen and see what the machine Brian Cage has to say.
What's up, Daddy Bass, or also known as Brian with a Y. I mean, yeah, is it really, though? I mean, Brian. I mean, yeah, he might as well just be Ryan then, I guess. But either which way, man, I heard you're quite diesel, huh? the bare barrel, Taz-like body going on, lifting the weights, drinking protein shakes. We're in the German chocolate cake, to quote Superstar Billy Graham. Anyways, man, apparently, the body that you have resembles the human suplex machine. And maybe this machine is somewhat envious of what you got. Well, it's hard to believe because, I mean, when it comes to in the ring, out of the ring, in the gym, on the dinner plate, either which way, everybody knows the answer to the question. Well, that's nobody. But maybe this one time, this one time, this one day, on this one cameo, it's you. All right, man.
So you understand, when we talk about Daddy Bass being diesel as fuck, this is the machine Brian Cage, the best body guy of his generation, envious of Daddy Bass. I mean, how is this possible?
Oh my God, dude. I'm speechless. You son of a bitch. You fucking, you need a double fucking swerve on us. You piece of shit.
He played us.
He played us hard.
We got.
The great part is that me and Katie swerved them both because I spoke to them both individually and I said, hey, Brian, we're going to fuck Gene over. I told him that I got Brian Cage to shoot on you and say that, you know, he's impressed by your body and shit. But really, I got Chris Hansen to say he's, you know, bordering on pedophilic activities.
Son of a bitch.
And then I told Gene the same shit. I said, yo, I got Brian Cage, but he thinks it's, you know, I didn't tell you anything about Chris Hansen. So.
The deception.
Betrayed live on fucking Evil Examined by A Boogie.
But guys, look at that. We got special guests. We got Chris Hansen. We got the machine Brian Cage on the show.
Insane, dude. I love Brian Cage. That man is a fucking god.
But he's envious of you. What does that say? He said maybe just this one day he's speaking that truth.
You know, in my heyday, I would have thrown it down with Brian Cage.
Oh, shit. Yo, next pay-per-view, Daddy Bass versus Brian Cage. Look for it, ladies and gentlemen.
That's awesome.
But we had to get you guys fired up.
Oh my God.
Dude, I'm fired up.
I am dumb. You fucking got me good. Like, dude, I was so amped up. I'm like, yo, we gotta get JP so good. I was like, I was so happy the last time, and he fucking swore to me too.
Dirty bastard. I honestly
forgot about the Brian Cage thing too.
Cause you got blown away by Hansen. Yeah.
Hansen just, he took the breath away. Dude,
that was amazing. Thank you. I don't know.
Well, no, I mean, it sounds like Brian Cage wants to thank you because you've just been an unbelievable motivation to him.
I can see why. You really wait, fucking dad bod looking bastard.
You barrel chest son of a bitch. Amazing.
Wow. Okay.
All right. So you never know what might happen on the Evil Examined podcast.
We don't even know what's going to happen.
Yo.
Literally.
They got gutted. But let's not let that detract from the subject at hand. The man with the plan, the perverse pedophilic JP, is ready to go ahead.
God damn it.
Let's not make that a thing.
Allegedly.
I don't know. That man, I seen him walk away many men in cuffs. But but there we go. You got it. So
Mama thanks. Said I'm a good boy.
Shout out to the machine, Brian Cage. Go ahead and buy his AEW merchandise and t-shirts. The man is the shit.
The machine.
He's really, just quickly before we get into it, I mean, he's probably one of the premier athletes and wrestlers right now.
In general. He's like the Brock Lesnar of now.
But really? You know what I mean? Remember when Brock Lesnar was young and doing like shooting star presses and stuff? Yeah. But I would venture to say that like the things that Cage does in the ring, even they're more...
He's a freak of nature.
Yeah, they're more
he's
crazy.
He's one of those guys like a freak of nature. Like, he's super athletic, super like huge, like...
Sadly, I'm not that well versed in AEW, but he seems pretty dope.
Yeah, no, he's the machine for sure.
Absolutely. Well, and thank you for that.
Thank you, Brian.
Absolutely. So we'll go ahead and turn it over to Jay Pizzle now as we get into what is it? We're doing time travel today, right?
We're doing all kinds of shit right now, bro.
Yeah, it's not even just that.
It started off as one thing, and as I dig deeper into this fucking story, it just. I don't even know where I'm at. Where am I? What time is it? What date?
November 5th, 1955. The flux capacitor.
Oh, there's going to be a lot of that. So yeah, just start it off. Historically, as a country, we had our share of colorful personalities run for office. These ranging from the dead Kennedys frontman, Yellow Biafra. Am I pronouncing?
Oh, the band, the Dead Kennedys.
Yeah, it's the band. Oh, the punk band.
Yep.
He went. He ran for office and he wanted to lower the voting age to 5 years old and legalize every drug from Mary Jane to heroin.
Okay, very logical. Well, but I hear that countries that don't have restrictions on drugs have way less addiction. Like Joe Rogan was saying, that's how they solved the opioid crisis in Portugal.
Mm-hmm.
There was a crisis there similar to what's going on in America, and they just legalized everything, and it kind of worked itself out.
I mean, the heroin's not going to hit the same if it's not illegal anymore, because that's part of the experience for me.
It's like when you're 21, right? Yeah, like you want, like it's drinking is not as fun once you become 21.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I don't know. We had a lot of fun with it.
Okay, maybe I'm embellishing just a cunt hair, you know? But
so, yeah, like I said, it ranged from the Dead Kennedy front man to Vermin Love Supreme, who promises free ponies for everyone who if he gets elected. And this guy wears a giant boot as his hat.
Does he not know where a boot goes?
No, he's a wizard.
Okay. Oh, he's fucking, excuse me.
These are, don't be joking around with these guys. These are true innovators. Okay, all right.
All right.
All right. Oh, excuse me.
So, and we can't forget former wrestler and self-proclaimed vampire, Jonathan Albert, the Impaler Sharkley, who strongly advocated for instituting torture and impaling criminals. So these are people that were running for president. But they pale in comparison to the next person I'm about to name. All right? And although these and many more are
Ralph
folks...
Ralph Nader? Sorry. I had to do it.
Very funny. But this is serious, bro.
I'm sorry. Excuse me.
You know, although these and many more folks that that happen to bring us some valid issues in our country... none are as ambitious or important as the only man with enough insider knowledge to set us right and to save humanity as we know it. Enter the chrononaut or time traveler for a base. Andrew Beisago. Okay.
Beisago?
Yeah.
He's close to home.
Yeah. In 2016, he tried his luck running for president. The planetary whistleblower. And a man who claimed to bear witness to Jesus Christ's crucifixion via a holographic time mirror called the Chronovision. Let me explain the Chronovision.
Sounds like Chrome TV or something?
It's better, dude.
Oh, okay.
It's where a person could see into a past or future event without physically going to the particular time or place.
Ooh.
So you put on,
that's awesome.
You put on these visors and you can see into the past, everything, or the future, and have that front row seat.
Not to harp back on Back to the Future, but so did he Back to the Future to it and gamble on a sports team and become rich?
No. Instead, he went to see Jesus get crucified.
You know what? That's number two on my list.
But
I bet on the fucking first Giants Patriots Super Bowl first though, because those fucking odds were insane.
You know what? Let's go around and ask, if you had the Chronovision at your disposal, what time and place would you travel back time to view?
Can it only go backwards?
You could go to the future too. It works both ways, just like me.
Oh, I would go as far forward as possible.
Okay.
Like, I'd keep punching in digits. Like, I'd start with the highest number and see if it rejected it. And then I would sit there for hours and days going down one by one. You know, I'll just put something in I know that will be rejected. And then I would sit there in my own swill and filth and count it down one by one.
Okay, that's silly, bro. I like that.
I actually would go the opposite.
Okay.
I want to see the beginning of things. I want to see
Ooh.
As far back as we can, like, what the fuck really started this
Are we
whole
talking
thing.
About Big Bang?
Big Bang, beyond that, like, I don't know. We don't know. I would go as far back as I could. You know what I mean? I want to see the opposite side of things because whatever's up ahead, we ain't going to make it to. But what's in the past, we can fucking see what happened and move forward from it and just answer a lot of questions.
I could see why you would say that because it scratches the curiosity factor
it's just,
a little bit more.
Exactly. It's almost like just to like, I want to get like, piece of, you know, just knowing what happened,
like
what led to where we are,
how'd the pyramids get built, that you know,
I really want to know that shit.
So many
were there really dinosaurs,
right?
Even though there's bones, I don't know, maybe.
But I think like you said, like, oh, the going back to like Big Bang, right? Like,
yeah, I'm going as far back as I can.
Maybe you're onto something. Maybe the way to the future is by learning from the past.
It would be, imagine if you blew your whole wish on it though, and like it was just like some molecule that it was evolving really slowly. It's super boring, and then and then like it would take millions of years before it turned into, and then you just saw just that tiny speck for like 10 minutes.
Dude, that would suck. I would just jump ahead a little bit. I can't go back a little bit more.
I think like it's a one time thing.
Yeah,
right?
It's a one time deal, bro.
Yeah, you kind of fucked yourself on this one, Brent.
Fuck. You could go forward and there could be nothing there but like fucking empty space because we're fucking idiots and we might blow each other off fucking out of the universe.
Yeah, that's true. It could suck either way.
Yeah, you know?
Maybe the middle's the safest.
I'd probably go back to see like velociraptors. Those are cool. Yeah. That's it.
You know, you're gonna know exactly when to, you know, jump off?
Well, from what we're told, there's a certain time frame where dinosaurs are around. But yeah, Andrew has been dead set on exposing government lies when his campaign consisting of forcing governments to disclose, well, specifically the U.S. government, to disclose secret time travel and teleportation technologies, as well as the secret CIA space programs and various treaties made with aliens. His campaign is consisting of reducing police violence, putting Bigfoot on the endangered species list, and you may laugh, but Teddy Roosevelt supposedly personally encountered a Sasquatch.
Well, no. On the incident, if you go to and listen to our Incident on a Bear Road episode, we actually cover that. In that area, Sasquatch is a protected species. Like that, eventually in the future, that happened.
Yeah.
So it is listed as a protected species, like not in a joking way.
Yeah, it's real.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
All facts. Also, universal basic income. I think Andrew Yang was all about that recently. Exposing the system of pre-selected presidents who are set up decades in advance. Pardoning Edward Snowden.
Snowden, yeah.
Yep. Ending the chemtrail program, investing $100 billion in infrastructure and programming for Native Americans, whatever that means. And also dedicating a year to researching and putting to rest the burning questions, which is the Earth flat? Also,
I can help him out. No.
Is the moon hollow?
Although we do have to have a fucking flat Earth episode at some point.
It's only fair. You gotta give them a shot too.
Absolutely.
This guy's working hard to expose the truth, you know? Just as hard as us.
He's fun. When was he running for president?
This was 2016.
I'd fucking vote. Damn, we missed out on this boat, huh?
Yeah.
So this was against Trump.
Was it?
2016, right?
Yeah.
That would have been the most recent election.
Hillary, Trump,
but look,
what's this guy's name again?
Joe Exotic?
No, this is Andrew Bezago. Now, yeah, look who we ended up with. Where the fuck was this guy?
This is awesome.
Joke's on us.
Like, he probably would be terrible president, but it'd be fun in games for a few months for sure.
Oh,
it'd be like you're at a carnival, you know?
Don't judge a book by its cover. There's more to this. His confidence in running stems from him having been to the future. 2054, specifically. So he has a clear view on the historical pitfalls mankind will make and has the tools, brains, and insight needed as a commander in chief to avoid those.
Okay, fuck it. He's got my vote now.
Well, now that you said that.
Regardless if he has your vote or not, he don't give a fuck.
Oh, shit.
Because he knows that he will be president by the end of 2028. Because it was foretold when he traveled to forward in time and saw the older version of himself as president.
Well, after this last election, it's pretty much possible anyone could get in there.
Honestly, this is opening up the doors for anyone. Like, literally anyone.
Yo,
Aaron's onto something.
But yeah.
But he doesn't say president of where, though. Does he mean, like, president of a country club or the United States?
The U.S.
Okay, ooh, fair enough. Fair enough. I just wanted, for the record, I wanted to get it on tape, you know?
Because you know the U.S. is the center of the universe.
Like,
that's what we think.
It's like the hole in the toilet, you know.
Mm-hmm. It all spirals downward. Mm-hmm. But for now, why don't we travel back a bit when it all began?
Ooh. Okay, I'm game.
So Andrew was born in September 18. He's a Virgo, 1961 in Morristown, New Jersey. He's a Jersey boy, but he was raised in Southern California as the youngest of five children. He stated that he was identified in early childhood as an indigo child with special abilities.
Mm.
Ooh.
Do you know what an indigo child is?
I don't.
Indigo means, isn't it like blue or something?
It's like a purplish.
Oh, purplish, yeah. Color, right? So is his skin weird?
No.
Because they have blue people in Kentucky. I don't know if you ever heard about that. We should do that as an episode sometime.
Man, this is just stemming a whole
this
bunch of
this is fucking
of, like,
opening up the wormhole.
This is like a butterfly effect.
Yeah.
But no, these are indigo children are like kids that are like far beyond their time in terms of intelligence, in terms of ability and like just thinking. Innovators.
Like a baby in a wheelchair kind of thing?
I don't know how to answer that.
All right, just
do they make baby wheelchairs?
It's fine. Continue.
You're a sick man.
It was a question. You gotta give him an answer.
Why are you gonna throw me curveballs like that? I don't know. Anyways, two of those abilities being his talent for using his mind to levitate small objects, and the other ability being a telepath. Neither of which have been showcased or proven by him during his later years, but
fuck it, if he says it, maybe it's true, you know?
Andrew has publicly claimed that from the time he was 7 to when he was 12, he had participated in Project Pegasus. Have you heard about that?
I have not.
No? That makes it all the much better.
Yeah.
So Project Pegasus, a secret U.S. government program ran jointly by the CIA and DARPA. He says he worked on a teleportation and time travel.
I'm sorry, not to interrupt you. Does this involve the Montauk chair?
No, I didn't read about that. It might.
No. It probably doesn't. I just forget it.
He lists a couple of different devices used for time traveling, so I'm not sure if that chair was one. I'm not sure.
Okay. What that no, is. That's cool. I just wasn't sure.
But yeah, those were under the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency in 1968 to 1972. This technology was also used to contact former presidents and also teleport to Mars and maintain a report in coordination with extraterrestrial life.
Martians.
Yep. So it gets deep in the rabbit hole right now.
Well, there's a lot of speculation, though, that, like, there's been, like, treaties. This is not a new thing. It's not a popular thing, I guess, but treaties between Earthlings and extraterrestrials. And
extraterrestrials that visit us, right, at some point.
Yeah, like, Bill Cooper talked about that in his book, Behold a Pale Horse. Certain treaties that we held and... supposedly, that was one of his theories as to why Kennedy got assassinated. He was going to speak about extraterrestrial treaties, allegedly. But you know, it's just fun to talk about that stuff.
Yeah, that's, I don't know about that. But, yeah, they said that, he said that they train children along with adults so they can test the mental and physical side effects of time travel on kids. He stated that children actually had an advantage over adults in terms of adapting to the strains of moving through time, since some adults seem to go insane after continuous trips.
Been there.
That sounds legit to me. Yeah. You're taking enough trips, bro. You're going to bond to get lost.
You ain't never coming back.
Looney bin.
But he was introduced to the program by his father, who apparently helped develop the technology to begin with, and who had originally been time traveling at the Curtis Wright Corporation in New Jersey. Andrew states that he experienced 8 different types of time traveling technology during his time in the Pegasus program, the most regular of them being a teleport device based on the technical papers supposedly found in Nikola Tesla's New York City apartment after his death in January 1943.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
That's crazy, huh?
Tesla was brilliant, you know? So it's like... did he steal a bunch of shit too?
No, Edison was the one that fucked Tesla over.
Right. Sometimes I get that backwards.
And Tesla died broke and just penniless. And only after he died did he gain notoriety. But he was a genius, and supposedly he actually met with aliens, and they were the ones that helped him develop technologies.
Honestly, this doesn't sound so fucking far-fetched.
Not nowadays, right?
No, definitely not. Not with everything that we know.
Think about Teslas now, you know what I mean? Like, completely battery-operated, like...
Just some of the most advanced technology out.
You know, like, they fucking drive themselves. Like, it's kind of logical. Like, yeah. You know, it's like, you know, at the time they might have been ridiculed, but like, really? They might have been ahead of the time. Like, they had like maybe, you know, extra knowledge, extra information. I don't know, man. I just stay open-minded to everything these days.
And I think that's the key. There's a lot of intelligent people out there, but I think the defining thing is like a person's creativity to be able to think beyond what's currently available.
Perfect example, Elon Musk, ahead of Tesla. He's the head of Tesla. Like, this man is a fucking genius. He's the real deal, in my opinion. Like,
yeah. Well, did you watch the rocket launch, right?
Yeah, you told me about it, dude. Like, yeah, and I was happened to get home, and you're like, Brian, you gotta watch this. I fucking tuned right in.
We got it right in time. Actually, John the Aviator was the one that was watching it. I was like, oh, I was going to meet up with them, me and Katie, him and his wife. And he was...
Oh, you watched it with him?
No. They were coming over our house, but she was like, oh, John just wants to watch the rocket launch first. I was like, the rocket launch, that's today? And she told me just in time. I hit him up, then...
And I was like, literally, like, about to get home. I had no clue about the whole thing going down.
Yeah.
I fucking run in the house. I turned the shit on, and I got to watch a live thing.
The ass end of the rocket, the launch part, like, that fucking self-lands back on the Earth. Like... The technology is insane.
It doesn't crash.
Yeah. It doesn't just
crash. It doesn't crash. It lands. You know what I mean? Like, that is a big difference. It's kind of intense. Like, if you think about the technological, like, advancements that where we are now.
Yeah.
Like, we're fucking idiots. We can't put this into words, but this is phenomenal.
Yeah. It's cool shit, man.
It was definitely a historic moment. You know, it's never been done by, like, a private company, right?
No, it's never been done by a private company. It's cool that somebody's that passionate enough about it.
It takes a lot of balls.
What's awesome too is I think he just became like the fucking fourth or fifth richest person. His stocks surged, and that's awesome to me because I think maybe he's gonna do more shit like this now. You know, like I'm hoping to see more space involved stuff.
The thing about it, he sent that car, the Tesla, out into space. What, he sent it to Mars?
I think so.
It's just like floating. It's just floating in there.
You know what I mean? Like it's just things that are out of the normal. You know what I mean? He's just thinking like in advance. You know what I mean? Like he put it out there. That shit'll be out there forever. You know what I mean? As far as we know.
Do you think there's aliens that are like straight goons like on Earth that be carjacking too? And they're like, yo, Let's roll up on
it. They got that hot fucking Tesla out there. Yeah, let's jump up in that.
Yo, pull out the ray gun. And then they're like, yo, get out, bitch. Oh, nobody's in it.
What if it causes an intergalactic war? They're like, these fucking humans, like, littering the... sending their trash up here.
Honestly, at this point in life in 2020, I wouldn't even
I'm
be
ready
surprised.
To go, brother. I'm ready to fucking see it go. I felt what it's like to die.
That's that trip. That's that time traveling trip.
Rat-a-tat-tat-tat-tat, and that's the way it is.
But yeah, the machine that was mentioned from Tesla that they developed from those papers found, the machine consists of two gray elliptical booms about 8 feet tall, separated about 10 feet apart, with a shimmering curtain in between, of which Tesla himself described as a broadcast of universal radiant energy that has the capacity to bend time and space. Hmm. So Andrew describes that when they would jump through this field of radiant energy, they found themselves in a tunnel vortex, feeling one of two side effects. The feeling, one being the feeling that they were moving at an incredible rate of speed, or the other, feeling like they're not moving at all. And and this was happening as the whole universe was wrapping around one's location until the tunnel closed and they found themselves at their desired destination. So this reminds me of my trip.
Yeah?
Yeah, where I saw a vortex.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that, dude.
Yeah.
Go into detail, though.
Of the trip?
Speak on it. What did you feel?
Yeah, so when I was meditating...
meditation.
When we were doing our group meditation, I broke through that wall, the fourth wall. And I felt like I was in a vortex of time and space. And my whole fabric of being was being stripped from me, like almost like thread. So I was unraveling and being sucked into this vortex and coming out the other side. It's just something you can't put into words. It's like you saw everything, you know everything, yet you realize you know nothing. And this happened.
Amen.
This happened in a span of a moment in my mind. But this was, I don't know how long.
I feel like we had very similar things happen to us, and it's almost like a reset button was hit, and like this wave washes over you, and suddenly every single problem in the world that you had, it's insignificant. Nothing. None of it matters.
Oh, it's like so many, it's many, you know.
Like, it's not even there. Like, I truly believed it was not even there anymore. And that death had found me. And that's what the end of the world is. And it's, you like, I had these visions. And actually, I have a book I'm going to be releasing in a month or so called Hallucinations, and some of these descriptions are involved in the short stories within it from our experiences. And I heard, like, literally, like, thousands, maybe millions, I don't know, of voices all speaking at once. Every single possible ultimatum or alternative route. Like, I picture it like an eyeball covered in blood vessels, and all these blood vessels, like, you could have all these paths where you make different choices, but eventually they all wrap around to the back of the retina into this pool, and you all end up in the same place at the end anyway. And there's all these different versions of you and people you love and people you hate and people who are evil. And none of them are different. They're all the same. And it's like, there's versions of you where you've been like maybe your mom had a different partner, you know? Mm. There's versions of you as a boy, as a girl, like all different. It's just insanity, dude. The mind will never know its full capability, you know? I truly believe that. And there's things that we can experience that...
It's unexplainable.
It's
really
unexplainable.
It's
dude.
Just it doesn't. There isn't words created.
And
for
I
it.
Agree. Yeah.
There's no way to describe it.
You can't describe it. You have to live it.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's and you have to be willing to take that trip.
Well, here's the thing. To
be open to it. It's intense.
And you have to, I say this too, and I write this in the book, one of the, basically like, one of the characters in the, or it's not really a character, it's a entity, I guess. And it's like, you have to go through hell. Like, do you want to see heaven? Yes. You have to go through hell to get there, though. You know, basically it's saying, like, this is the same, almost. It's fucking crazy. I don't know. It's very hard to...
Like, words don't... Words couldn't describe some of the places of... I'm sure he's gone, and I've gone, and I'm sure you've gone. Where things... Logical things don't make sense. Where, like, everything becomes linear, and it's all one. Time, memories, essence, just everything.
It's like everyone's there and everyone's gone
at the same time, and in just simple body motions and just functions that you're used to doing become almost impossible to do. And because there's so much, like, imagine trying to like get all the bandwidth from the internet through one small fucking portal at once.
That's good.
And you can't, and you can't split it up, so everything is just knowledge coming through, and you can't break it up because it's all just intertwined.
That's what I'm saying with and the voices.
And that's like, and that's what it was kind of like going to the other place.
But it's
hard to put into words, really. But it's life changing, in my opinion. I don't know about you guys, but.
There's no going back once you felt something like that.
Once you get there.
You come back, and it's real hard to accept that you're back.
Yeah. Not only that, to accept that
this makes reality dull.
This is the reality that we live. Like, this mundane existence is all there is.
Yeah. Once you have better understanding of what life really is supposed to be or what it's meant to be, going back to your regular, like, old shitty life, it's just not the same.
And like you said,
it has a different value to it. It's really crazy to think about, talk about. I'm sure a lot of you guys probably not understand what we're saying, but if you bend in, then you might.
Some people do. Some people don't. Some people will never know it exists,
or they have their own experience. But
yeah. But I think, holy shit, man! Like,
it's worth talking about.
Yeah.
Like, when I came back, I seen like tears in reality almost. It made it seem like we were plugged in for the longest time. And then I was finally unplugged. And I saw tears in reality, light screaming through it. Almost like it made me think about The Matrix a lot. And it's funny because it's a movie, but a lot of it's all like ideas, and those ideas are probably maybe truths that don't exist in, like, we haven't discovered yet, and our minds are reaching into other planes of existence that, and maybe that's what the key is to getting to other dimensions is our bodies have limitations, but our spirit and our mind, we're experiencing life through a body, you know, but outside of that, like, there's no limit to our spirits and in our mind.
Yeah. And
that's
how
we travel.
There's some people that believe like the mind was intentionally limited too.
Yeah.
You know? Well, if you think about how much of the brain we use is so limited.
Right.
Like that, it almost makes sense. Like, why are we so limited?
Well, not only limited, but we're taught and brought up to numb ourselves and numb our potentials because they need people that are just numb and just obedient.
Just to do the job.
They just need sheeps.
While other people can access the full spectrum and live to the fullest. But they need those people to just be the support beams for that. But
the sheep. That's what it is.
Yeah, and it's like you say the word sheep and like it's an accurate description, but I feel like a lot of people hear that and it's so associated with like you know, like crazy views or whatever, but in reality, it's the truth. You know, like you could go your whole life just doing a routine, the same exercise over and over and over, and not really understand. There's a fucking weirdness out there. There's something really weird out there, and it's inexplicable. I hope everybody gets to experience that once, you know?
Yeah.
Whatever way it takes, you know?
However you get to it, it's...
There's many ways to reach it.
Agree. But, man, we can go that all day.
Really deep.
That was a curveball like a motherfucker. But sorry, Gene.
We're almost time traveling right there. But, yeah, we can go all day about that. But, now, here's the cool thing. Andrew claimed that he was found on when he time traveled as a kid. He showed proof. Maybe we'll post this up of him being in a photograph at Lincoln Speech site in Gettysburg. And he said, "There I am, as a kid. I was over there, and they took a picture of me, and I was." I time traveled to that point, and he attracted much attention from the people around him because he was wearing oversized men's street shoes. And he stated he was clutching a letter from the Navy, a letter to the Navy Secretary Gideon Wells to offer him aid in the event that he was arrested in that time period for whatever reason. So he
has a photo that he has of this?
Yeah, there's a photo that he released, and he's saying that child in that photo is me time traveling.
So, yeah, we have to put that on. So, guys, go if you're listening to the episode, check out www.evilexamine.com to see the photo. 100%, we have to put that up.
Yeah.
I want to see it. I haven't seen it yet.
I mean, that could be any child, but apparently he says that's me.
Yeah, it just adds context to the story, you know.
But he also, aside from that, he also claimed traveling back to the Ford's Theater in the night of Lincoln's assassination on 5 to 6 different occasions. And although he never witnessed the assassination himself, he did hear the terrible shot that rang out and the following commotion, the crowd commotion afterwards. He would then return from the test via some sort of collapsing holographic technology that allowed him to travel physically and virtually through the through a filed of supercharged particles. So I guess the technology they used was like, it's basically an entire room where the device, the room is the device. And they stand in that room and it just transports them using supercharged particles. I don't know the science to it, but...
Oh, you don't know the science.
No, I'm sorry. I'm still trying to work on my degree. No, listen. There.
On Evil Examine, we just talk about shit.
We talk about it, you know. If you want to look deeper into it, go ahead.
Fucking do it. We don't got time for that shit. We don't make no fucking money.
We're trying to go as deep as we can with 6 inches, but Andrew
6 1/4
on a good day.
Let me see.
Hold on, get the ruler out. but Andrew stated that each visit to the same historical point was different. Like they were being sent to a slightly alternate reality on an adjacent timeline. After a few times, Andrew even stated that he had run into himself on 2 different occasions.
See, this is where time travel can get real confusing, right?
Real
and they
messy.
Kind of touch on it a little bit in Back to the Future, I feel like.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, I keep going back to Back to the Future because I think it's one of the greatest. The original is one of the greatest time travel movies ever.
Oh, absolutely.
Probably the best time travel movie ever. Maybe one of the best movies ever. But
yeah,
it gets real, real weird if you've gone back and then you're going back again.
Mm-hmm.
And the overlap, you seeing yourself. Like it's just it boggles the mind trying to calculate the ramifications that would come from that.
In the movie Butterfly Effects, I mentioned earlier,
really
yes.
It showcased
I really like
the
movie.
Ramifications of anything that you may do going back.
Smallest thing.
And I think he didn't travel with any device or anything. It was a mental thing, like
yeah.
I stated.
Yeah.
Because the body, it's limited, but the mind isn't. But yeah, he said that he ran into himself on 2 different occasions. But he avoided speaking or interacting with himself to avoid any potential disastrous paradox. Andrew states that the program didn't merely limit them to only discover the history and future of planet Earth, but, as mentioned earlier, Mars. In 1981, he was brought back on board by the government to help with another project. He states that this was part of a 10-member group on the Mars Teleport Jump Mission to help set up a secret Earth base with the help of real-life Martians, as well as allow them to acclimate with other Martian humanoids and animals to their presence. With one of the time jump members, including a young teenage Barack Obama.
Oh. That's a twist, huh? Wait, I didn't really see that one coming.
Yeah, you didn't see that, huh?
Now, have like, I never heard the Barack Obama stuff, but recently there's that whole conspiracy about the time-traveling Baron Trump. Have you heard
yes,
that one?
Yes, I heard about that.
We have to cover that one sometime.
There was
that one's super interesting,
listen,
too.
When I was scouring the interweb for, like, this topic, I ran into so many interesting ones. But this one stood out for the variety of, like, stuff involved in the story. It wasn't just time traveling. It's teleportation, aliens, conspiracy with the government.
The treaties. The Martians.
The pre-selected presidents decades in advance. So they have all their presidents pre-selected beforehand.
I don't doubt that.
That opens up questions like the whole election thing is just
a facade, dude. Yeah. Dude, even if Democrats, like, that's the biggest fucking myth. Whether it's a Democrat or Republican that's winning, nothing's changing, dude. It's not gonna have some insane impact. The two-party system, the whole thing is a facade.
Absolutely. Like, if anything, it's a way for the people who are pulling the strings to have a gauge over the masses. So they see whoever's, they can see if, we have the masses leaning towards one candidate, so that means we're getting the desired effect. We want them to be society leaning towards this.
If you think about
but we're going to go our own way, either way.
At the end of the day, the Senate ends up being, it's not changing very often. So no matter what president's in there, there's other people who are making the shot, calling the shots, you know what I mean? Because all these bills get proposed and whatnots happen, but the Senate, like, there's no limitations of how many times you can run for it and this and that. And, like, so the bodies don't change. So it's really like a fucking failed system, in my opinion.
Oh, 100%.
You know what I mean? So it's like it don't matter system. Who's in the fucking, no matter who's wearing the hat, they're not really, like, they're not really always in charge, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, and then, I mean, all right, so you brought up the Senate, and, you know, there's the House and Congress.
All of them.
There's all this shit, but
just fucking the whole thing.
Then you look at, like, other presidents, like, you take, W. Bush, for example, and it's like Donald Rumsfeld and fucking Cheney were, like, really manipulating a lot of that run that he had.
Yeah.
You know?
Very involved. Very involved with what's going on behind the doors, you know?
Like, so it's like, it's not, a lot of times the president seems more like a mouthpiece.
Like a face. There you go. Yeah, there you go.
Like Obama was a great speaker, you know?
For sure.
You know, so, like, so sometimes they look for that. And, like, W was, like, kind of a sympathetic,
funny, goofy
kind of guy, you know?
He was likable in a way, you know what I mean?
They're just the face, very human. The face that they use for, if anything goes wrong, they're the ones to blame. No one, the best way to power is not being the most obvious person. It's the people behind the curtains that hold the true power. Like Napoleon, the true person with power was his chancellor. Counselor, and he's the one that kind of whispered in his ear and kind of planted the seeds to get his ideas enacted.
Yeah,
and made it seem like, oh, I came up with this, but the whole time he was feeding him. That's true power. Not being the face. The face is just someone to blame when shit goes wrong.
It's almost always the case where they're, and anybody who's in charge, there's always a council of, or people who are, you know, orchestrating what you should be saying or what be doing. You know? Well, so it's not too, like...
And if you don't, you get
assassinated. It's not illogical. You know what I mean? It makes sense. You know what I mean? Like, there's always some kind of council that will tell you, you know, all right, speak on this, or this is the thing that we need to be addressing and whatnot. Seems logical. Well, it's like a logical thing.
Think about you
hire people in power.
Think about it from like a even more high level perspective. Like, look at a football team. It's the same thing. The quarterback, right? When he wins, he gets all the credit. When he loses, he gets all the shit.
It's
a team game, and it takes 12 guys to win the game. Like, the quarterback having a phenomenal game means shit if the defense blows it, you know?
Yeah.
So, like...
And there's always someone whispering instructions into it.
Which is the coach, right?
And then you got a coach who, you know, he'll take the blame, too.
Exactly. And, like, but the coach is, like, a little more behind the scenes, too, you know? Like, yeah. And I think it's fucking... It's... I don't know. It's a weird web of...
I think it's very intertwined, and I think there's more to the details, you know, than we know.
Mm-hmm.
Politics, man. It's something I just.
Well, this is years. This is years of like planning. It's been going on for like.
But you know,
throughout history, just planning all this shit, and there's no way to combat it because you can't plan a counter plan against something that's been in place for that long.
But then think about all the other things, right? So forget about all those, like the House, the Senate, the Congress, the President. Then you have all these other organizations, the CIA, the NSA, the FBI, like the ATF. Like, there's all these other players. And it's all, and like they're doing their own dirty shit, right? And it's all compartmentalized within those organizations. They have their own dirt, right? But then they fucking communicate between each other sometimes. And they also have an eventual impact on outcomes of certain things. You know what I mean? So it's like there's so much power. And that's a good thing, I think, to disperse power that much. Because then no one has... We hope no one has absolute power. Yeah. But
even those things, they have to report to someone. So there's always a tier, like a pyramid. There's always someone on top. At the end, there's someone at the very top orchestrating everything and trickling down their commands.
Well, everyone thinks
that's how it works.
There's conspiracies, of course, about like global one world government Bilderberg meetings, right? Have you guys ever heard of those?
Oh, for sure.
That's where everyone from different countries meet and they discuss world affairs, you know?
Yeah.
What the fuck goes on in there? I mean, who knows, you know? Like, a lot of like weird, important people showing up, but. I don't know. That was my rant. I just think it's fucking. There's so much shady shit going on everywhere. Is all I'm saying. Like, as far as America goes, elsewhere too, I'm sure, but definitely in America.
Yeah. So Bass, I don't know if you missed this, but he was called back after the time traveling when he was younger. For another project, which was teleporting to Mars, okay? And this was, he was part of a 10-member group, part of the Mars jump teleportation missions, and this was to set up a secret Earth base, where they, with the help of real life Martians, they set up this base and acclimate themselves and the species there to their presence. But what the shocker here that I stated was one of the time jumper members included a teenage Barack Obama, and he was going by the name Barry Sotero at the time. So and this was confirmed by a fellow jumper and comrade William Stillings that he stated Obama was indeed part of the Mars survival class. Because they had to take an extensive class to know what they were up against up there in terms of, like, surviving and species and all that stuff. And yeah, he was part of that class, and he traveled with them. William feels that Obama betrayed them all when he lied and denied any involvement. And this was stated on the news that the government denied any involvement with any of that accusations and shit like that. But yeah, he felt that was a betrayal since this was a set of Americans.
So they acknowledged it? Mm-hmm.
They denied it, any involvement.
That's this bizarre is where, this that they is would even acknowledge it. You know?
Exactly. Usually they would ignore it.
They would just be like, this is foolishness. It's almost like to acknowledge it gives it power, you know? Like
absolutely, yeah. But yeah, he felt this was a betrayal because this was a set of Americans who put their lives at risk at a very young age for the country and the progression of mankind in general. But Andrew stated throughout his 40-plus trips to Mars, he had seen a thin but breathable environment, Martians, human hybrids, variations of Mars hybrid Earth species. So, like, let's say a cat, a regular Earth cat, but a hybrid Mars variation of it. If that makes any sense.
Like, are they splicing them, or it doesn't go into detail? Or
it doesn't really. He didn't really go into detail on that. I don't know if he even knew what was going on with that. But yeah, just weird variations of Earth animals up in there. It seemed like they were terraforming that area.
Yeah, like they did like a Noah's Ark situation.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
and then,
well, here's the thing: the variations of the Mars hybrid Earth species included current species and species that were supposedly extinct. So they stated dinosaurs, stuff like that, all kinds of weird shit. What the fuck? So, and also not to forget never before seen mind bending creatures native to Mars. So one of them including, which he talked about, a dangerous species that they were trained and instructed to avoid because just looking into his glare would paralyze and kill you in an instant.
It's like some Medusa shit.
Right, exactly. Some mythological shit. Imagine that's where a lot of myths come from some weird
some creatures. Some real creatures that are being hidden on Mars.
Right. He also described meeting a half-man, half-slug hybrid.
Yo.
Likely an alien experiment, and details a harrowing escape where he and his comrade had a Martian dinosaur nipping at their feet.
Oh, this would be a great movie.
Right?
That's fantastic.
Here's the thing. All right. At the time, they had sent 100,000 people to Mars, with only 7,000 surviving. He claims today that the number is back up to 500,000 thriving people, and Andrew would also eventually be witness to the moral dark side of Mars and the secret cult-like evils being committed there. He stated that that in a ravine west of the home plate in the Gusset crater on Mars, there was a mass grave of several hundred humanoid bodies, both male and females, clothed in blue regimented uniforms. To Andrew, this looked like a cemetery, which was a place of ritual human sacrifice or genocide killing field. He also mentioned a project Bluebeam, a man-made manufacturer rapture. Where he stated they plan on casting the illusion of millions of people disappearing, most likely via teleporter or teleportation, to Mars for alien enslavement, while the rest of the quote-unquote sinners are exterminated on Earth.
So society is being divided in two groups. One is the exterminated and the other is the enslaved.
Yeah.
Wow. And they're going to be teleported onto Mars to be enslaved.
They're going to follow the biblical, you know...
The rapture, yeah.
The rapture. Make it look like the rapture. You'll see many millions of people disappear. You'll be like, oh, shit.
It's crazy. Like, when you think of the rapture, you don't think of it, like, in a technological way.
Yeah.
I feel like you think of it in that Old Testament kind of... Mm-hmm.
Like, supernatural.
Just people. Yeah, supernatural, exactly.
That I found that very interesting that he mentioned. But outside the whole Mars conspiracy, within the time conspiracy, so it's a conspiracy within the conspiracy, in regards to teleportation tech, he also made it clear that although he thinks this technology should be globally accessible, and it should be more accessible, it should be handled with care and strict legal control, as there are risks.
Oh, you think?
Andrew remembered one tragedy occurring in the early days of the technology, in which a child in the Pegasus project arrived a few seconds before his legs did. And when he appeared on the other side, he was writhing in pain with just stumps where his legs have been.
Oh boy. Wow. Okay, that kind of reminds me of, like, you ever heard of the Philadelphia experiment?
Mm. It rings a bell.
We'll have to cover that sometime. Like, the Philadelphia experiment was like, oh, they said they were working on a cloaking device for a U.S. ship, and the ship disappeared, and when it reappeared, the sailors that were on it, like, they were, like, embedded into the ship, and they were, like, screaming and shit, and, like, you know what I mean? That kind of reminds me of it. Like, with this one, it's just a person teleporting and part of the body's missing, and this one, it's, like, an object and people, and then they're, like, part of it, and, like, you know, like...
That sounds insane.
Yeah.
It's almost like the molecules... I feel like
that's a good JP topic.
The molecules are, like, melding together, like, when they reconstruct.
Yeah.
That's how I think
teleportation... Kind of like the fly, almost, or something.
Yes, exactly. And that was a teleportation device, wasn't it?
Yeah. He was just teleporting from one pod to the other, and the fly got in.
That's crazy. But, yeah, the risk is that before, in the early days, although that problem... was supposedly solved by at this point. There could be other issues as political, economic control, or it being used for illegal surveillances or activities. Like, imagine how easy it would be to transport drugs via teleporter over the country.
Oh man, I feel like, well, actually, you know, are they just strictly talking teleporter or time travel too with this?
This is both. What right now is...
I mean, there's way bigger problems with time travel.
The time travel, he's not advocating for time travel to be accessible for the public. He's saying teleportation be accessible because it could change...
It'd be fucking great, man. It would be great. You go to work, take a step out your door, and you'd be at work safely. You don't have to worry about getting in a car accident, traffic. You'd save time. It'd be a better quality of life for everyone. It would fucking change everything. It'd be great.
Oh, absolutely.
You wouldn't even have to go to the grocery store. They would just stick it through the teleporter, whatever you ordered, and it would be in your house.
The whole, like, climate issue and pollution, that would... just be non-existent at that point, because there's no emission or anything like that.
Yeah, I was just thinking, like, basic convenience and safety, but like you said, on a nature level,
right?
We could preserve so much. God! Planes would be irrelevant.
Exactly. Irrelevant. Many scientists say this is complete hogwash, since there's no conceivable way to move faster than the speed of light. But others are in belief that the government has had been hoarding such technologies as teleportation and time travel and many more futuristic tech for over 40 years for their own selfishness, power, and greed. So by this point, you're probably thinking Andrew is a fucking nut job, right? And rightfully so. You're probably right. But let's quickly go through a few of his academic achievements, just to give him a tiny bit of credit. Andrew was a member of the elusive and prestigious high IQ society, Mensa. So this is a smart man. He holds 5 degrees, including a bachelor in history from UCLA and a master in philosophy from the University of Cambridge. But that could also mean that he's smart enough to have a detailed agenda or pull one over us. Anyways, we'll circle back now. And go back to his current purpose. So, like, Andrew is still on a crusade as a lawyer and statesman to have the U.S. government disclose its time travel secrets. It is in his belief that lobbying the government to declassify its secret teleportation capabilities will allow that technology to be adopted globally, which in turn will lead to most important solution to the environmental crisis of our time, like I stated. And no need for conventional means of transportation would mean no harmful emissions. And he is quoted saying, "I'm leading that campaign to achieve political recognition that Mars is inhabited, because we must enact an international treaty to protect the ecology and the civilization of Mars. We must remember that Mars does not belong to us. Mars belongs to the Martians. If we fail to recognize this, then we fail our first major test of cosmic citizenship. I believe that people of the planet Earth are ready for cosmic citizenship, and I believe that they're ready for the truth." So, although Andrew's campaign in 2016 election was not a successful one, he's not letting that deter him, because he's given 2020 a go.
Yeah, well, he's going to be president by 2028, isn't he? From what I heard.
That's what he foretold.
He's got two more tries at it.
Right? Fucking world will be over by then, though.
So, guys, keep a chrono eye on this one, folks, for the future. Remember, we covered this first in Evil Examines.
Yeah. It's like, if this motherfucker becomes president, like, we're in the cabinet, probably.
Yeah.
Honestly. Like, yep. He likes people like us, I feel like.
Can we be in the wine cabinet?
Sure. I can wine pretty good.
For sure.
And, folks, I hope you liked that story. That was about one of the most profound individuals running for election, and the time traveler, Andrew Bazagel.
Andrew Bazagel.
I wanted to say
Basago.
Basago.
Yeah.
That was pretty legendary.
You liked it, guys?
I loved it.
He did the crazy life.
And then
he was on a lot of drugs.
Either way, I like that motherfucker, man. You know?
Yeah, man, you're thinking, oh, he's a nut job, but...
Is he?
He could be. Yeah, like I said, he could be a nut job, but he is a smart guy. He was, like I said, he was part of the high IQ society, Mensa. He has multiple degrees. He's not a dum-dum.
Mm-hmm.
But that also can lead to him being smart enough to manipulate people.
Yeah.
You know, so there's the double-sided sword there.
Geniuses are, like, kind of crazy anyway.
They're all eccentric, yeah.
So, like, I feel like, I don't know.
I usually get appreciated well over their time in the planet.
Nothing would surprise me anymore. That's all I can say, you know? Like, I'm just not surprised at stuff anymore.
Yeah, me too.
We're being slowly desensitized to a lot of this stuff.
Again, guys, this is not a means to convince you guys. You know, you make your own judgment on this story. You can dig deeper. It could be true. Only time will tell.
And we will put that evidence up on www.evilexamined.com, that alleged evidence, that photographic evidence, right?
Yeah, as well as a video of Andrew getting interviewed.
Yes.
Where he talks a lot of his stuff that we grazed over, because there's a lot of video there.
And also, there will be some video of the machine Brian Cage and his... admiration for Daddy Bass. You'll understand that as well. Is that it? I mean, are we done today?
There's nothing more. We covered aliens, time travel, teleportation, conspiracies,
presidential madness,
Barack Obama and another controversy,
Martians, hybrid creatures, chimera,
Medusa-like creatures.
This is pretty packed.
Yeah, I mean...
Children being used by the government for experiments, yeah.
Nothing new, really, I guess. but we hope you guys enjoyed it. Again, remember, subscribe to the Evil Examine podcast. We do this all for free, so if you could rate it and review it, that would be a great help to us. If you're so inclined, feel free to go to www.evilexamine.com and click the donate button to donate via PayPal. Or if you just want to donate via PayPal, it's just evilexamine@gmail.com. And if you do, send us a picture to that same email and we will create a mock profile for you. And I will associate some kind of weird story that I think fits with your personality into our odd news segment. I mean, how cool is that? You could be a part of Evil Examined lore and go down. I mean, dude, I think we got over 75 episodes out now.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Wow.
That's awesome,
guys. Who would have thunk?
Like hundreds and hundreds of hours of content, you know? That's wild.
All at your fingertips for free.
Right at the tip of your dick if you want it.
Well, I was starting with the foreplay. Yeah.
Okay. All right, guys. Well, great job, JP. That was awesome. We want to thank everybody. Remember, go to www.evilexamine.com. And also follow us on social media, too, because we put out a bunch of cool stuff. Mm-hmm. We put out a great video for the Unholy Trinity season. It's super disturbing. JP worked on it, slaved his tits over a laptop for about a fucking day to make that thing. So maybe you guys go check it out.
Check it out.
Until next time, we thank Daddy Bass for joining us. And
much love to you guys out there.
Thank you, guys.
We'll see you in the future. For Andrew.
They're extra-dimensional beings that they are not what they claim to be.
Your life with dignity. Don't lay down with tears and agony. Living, you're looking at death. It only looks like living is much, much more difficult.
You know, most of them don't assume you're actually going to kill them. Most of them assume it's a rape or something like that.
It was like anybody was fair game.
It did not matter. Blood is blood. It didn't matter if man, woman, child.
At first, they thought it was a pack of savage dogs. But when they looked closer, they knew it was humans.
We left the curse. Say it! We left the curse.
We did the gate.
A fire and death.
We did it again.
Oh, this is not nice. Judgment! Say it!
We left the curse!
On her?
On her!
Future generations.
Future generations!
Generation! Generation!